Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Hi, guy.
Oh, man. We got a good first half going. AJ Benza's coming in, and he makes me laugh, and I make him laugh, and it's one of the funnier shows we've done in a long time, so buckle up for that. We'll get into it. Later on, we'll play some blah, blah, blah. At first, I'll take a deep dive into the psychology of human beings, and I think it's enlightening and eye-opening. So I guarantee a good time for one and all. First, hymns. You've heard me talk about hymns before and how they help guys look their best. Best way to prevent more hair loss is by doing something about it while you still have some hair. 4hymns.com. One-stop shop for hair loss, skin care, sexual wellness for men, licensed physicians, and FDA-approved products, no snake oil pills or gas station countertop supplements, created by the guys who know men's health and know the conversations are easier to have online. No awkward in-person doctor visits or pharmacy lines either. My listeners can get started with the Hims Complete hair kit for just $5 today while supplies last, subject to doctor's approval. See website for full details and safety information. Go to 4hims.com/Adam, forhims.com/Adam before it's too late. All right, let's get started.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Check engine light on. Take the guesswork out of your check engine light with O'Reilly Veriscan. It's free and provides a report with solutions based on over 650 million vehicle scans verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we can recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Carolla One Studios in Glendale, California. This is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, AJ Benza. With Gina Grad on news, Bald Brian on sound effects, and a spirited round of blah, blah, blog. And now, he's celebrating National Donut Day by yelling at the lackeys about donuts. Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get it on. Mandate, get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for hitting that share button on your smartphone. Good day, Gina Grad.
Good day to you.
Handball, Brian.
Yeah. Excited Nigerian outburst.
Yeah, be nice to the Nigerians. They will be our overlords very soon.
Yeah. Tables have turned.
They're superior. If you see those guys with their shirts off, they're better than we are.
And the brain's out.
I was going to say,
and the brain's out. All right. So much to get into. AJ Benza coming in. Love it when that guy comes in. I love blah, 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 too. It always infuriates me, but it fascinates me as well. This show brought to you by RocketMortgage.com/Adam, 4hims.com/Adam, Instacart, enter Adam, Castrol, Edge. All right. I have thoughts. Gina has an article and an update. I was trying to put together this loosely based idea, which is I'm very much fixated as I get older on people's belief systems, how they react and interact. And then I thought I keep always drill down. I have people. So I don't know if everyone has this in their life, but I have people in my life that are so dialed in and so grounded and so insanely focused. I know these people well. And then I know people that are as scattered as you could possibly be. They look about the same.
You can't tell one from the other.
You peel back a layer.
If you were like driving behind them, you wouldn't know it.
Right.
And if you're at a cocktail party, you might not know it. But the way they approach their life and consequently what they believe in and what they think and sort of what their reality is so different. And then, so I'll give you an example of something I've been wanting to share with you guys for a while, but it just keeps kind of falling through my little storm drain of my grid of life, my grate. But as an example of amazingly, clearly focused and sort of dialed in and tuned in is Chris Morgan from Fast and Furious mm-hmm. and Hobbs and Shaw and all that stuff and Bird Box and everything else, because that guy has to make clear decisions mm-hmm. times 1,000 all day, every day. And we were having some weeks ago, we were having one of our marathon 3-hour lunches where we didn't eat, we just drank. But
whiskey lunches.
At a certain point, I said to him, I got going on the story about doing the second audiobook and sort of the insanity of my publisher, in that I did my first audiobook, I think it was for not Taco Bell material, or could have been for In 50 Years Wallaby Chicks. Anyway, I did it. I vamped. They needed a 6.5-hour audiobook. I did half the chapters. Mm-hmm. It was wildly successful. And that's the way you want to do it. Digital download, mm-hmm. audio. It was like $19 a mm-hmm. click. No sending, no packaging.
No overhead.
No yeah. overhead, no nothing.
Intangible.
And so I was telling Chris the story of when I went back to them and I said, why don't we do part two? I'll do all the chapters that weren't covered, and the 100,000 units you sold, you'll sell another 100,000 units, you know? And you know the story. We went back and forth.
It was wildly successful, and you guys had a great
And here we are now.
They offered $5,000. I said, no, we'll just split the money. I'll do everything. I'll produce everything. They offered, I don't know, $10,000. I said, no, we'll just split the money, whatever that money is, but I'll do all the work. And then they said, no deal. And I said, okay. And then later on, they came back and they said, fine, deal, we'll split the money. And I said, fine. You guys pay Dawson $2,000 to engineer the thing. And for that, on my end, I'll offer up the facility in the studio. Well, this is going to be a multi-day affair in this studio. And they said, no, we split Dawson's pay. And I said, but then what about the studio?
Yeah,
because you have to book a studio, yeah. and the studios are $3,000 a day or whatever. You're actually getting a deal on the studio. And they said, no, we split everything. And I said, you're paying Dawson $2,000, and then I'm providing $3,500 worth of studio mm-hmm. time. And they said, look, either we split Dawson down the middle or no deal.
What are they quibbling over this money for?
That's what you call penny wise and pound foolish.
Yeah.
Well, these assholes, what are they? Ass Fister? What is the name of that Price Waterhouse? I can't.
Schuster.
Simon Schuster.
Fuck these guys.
Simon and Ass Fister.
What they were doing is they were making a statement. Mm. Except for I don't know what the fucking statement is. I'm on the New York Times bestseller list. I just made him a shitload of money with an audiobook, and now I'm going to come back and make him a shitload more money with an audiobook. I don't know what their statement is. Their statement is, we don't get bullied. We'll give you $5,000. They didn't like that. I said, no, it's not worth my time. They said, we'll give you $10,000. I said, no, it's not worth my time. They didn't like being, and then they said, fine, no deal. They didn't like being, they didn't like being pushed around, but they weren't being pushed around. I just wanted to split the money. So they made a statement.
They drew a line in the sand for some stupid reason.
So I was telling this to Chris Morgan, and I was gesticulating wildly.
With your drink.
And I was going, your whiskey.
And I was going, it wasn't over 2,000, it was over 1,000. Because they would have split the 2,000. Yeah. It was over $1,000 that they wouldn't put up. And I explained to them insanely clearly that this was my studio and that I was going to, for my half of it, I was going to put my studio up. And they wouldn't do it for that. They left tens of thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands of dollars on the table because of their stupid pride and because they wouldn't, over $1,000. And he paused and he said, well, it seems like you should have paid that $1,000. And I went,
wow.
What?
And changed your world, man.
Well, you left hundreds of thousands of dollars on the table too, right? And I was like, yeah.
But,
and he's like, but I'm making a statement. And he's like, well, you never got that money, did you? And I'm like, no. And he's like,
yeah, so
$1,000, not very much to you either. And I said, yeah. And he said, sounds like you should have paid. Mm. And I was like, well, you're right.
Yeah, got me there.
Top me off,
okay,
waitress.
That's an insanely grounded, focused person. And by the way, that's fine for me to hear that. I mean, I want to say I needed it, but I certainly accepted it. I was like, well, you're right. I did. I could have paid $1,000. Yeah. Now,
that's 5-star point shitting.
Now, look. By the way, this is what we call F me money.
Yeah, I'll say.
F me money. Because I just F'd myself out of 300 grand because I wouldn't pay 100 grand. But fuck.
Dawson out of two.
Who was it who did that? Random House. God, fuck you guys. I hope you go out of business. Look, I don't know how else to describe what just happened other than that's exactly how it happened. And I couldn't believe, and by the way, my stupid book agent, I was like, you couldn't get the ball across the finish line. You couldn't sufficiently explain to them that, you know how when you guys do this, you have to rent a studio out. It comes with an engineer, but it's a facility.
It's money saved.
Couldn't do it. Well. I was talking to Dan, my book agent. He's like, well, you did say you were going to split the money. I was like, why can't you understand this? Why can't you understand what I'm saying? It's insane to me. It's insane that these are adults, white collar, college education, professional realm, Manhattan.
With skin in the game.
With skin in the game. Yeah. Agents and publishers.
Yeah.
Okay. So everyone's horrible. But Chris Morgan said you should have paid it yourself.
He's right. Yeah.
He's right. Okay.
Well, let's go back to them. Give them the phone, Chris.
I know that. And then I know people that are, wow, they have their expectations, their thoughts, their terms of realistic behavior, thoughts, or what they deserve and what you deserve and what they deserve to do for you and what you, wildly different than Chris Morgan.
Indeed.
Insanely. Now, I would argue he's probably really successful because that's one part. There's a creative part, but there's also super focused, kind of pragmatic kind of part. I'm also started to put together this thought that the more you do for people or the more that is done for them, the more skewed they get.
Sure, like kids.
Yeah. Good. The most skewed you're ever going to be is 5.
Yeah.
That's everyone does everything.
They're supposed to.
Wipes your own ass, wipes their ass for you, and you think everything revolves around you or whatever. When you get to the relationships that you have, I think about the people I do nothing for.
Daddy, wipe my butt.
The people I do the most for have no expectations and certainly no unrealistic expectations.
Right.
The people I do the most for, A, don't appreciate it, but B, have wildly unrealistic expectations of why this is the right way to do it and how to. And the people you do the most for, Chris Morgan does not feel marginally screwed because of our relationship. The people I do the most for feel like they're getting the shaft just a little bit, which makes me realize you must have. I think every fiber in your being is running away from shame. And shame, we talk about anger, we talk about jealousy, and we talk about envy, and we talk about a lot of emotions.
Those are all projected outward.
But shame is the one people work overtime to get away from.
Back
and
to the core.
And it can't be a coincidence that the people you do the most for, lend the most money to, or do it, work the hardest to keep you in that position.
Right.
And part of it is creating a scenario. I don't know if you guys, hopefully you'll experience this one day. The scenario is when you start doing a lot of stuff for people, they start building a sort of Trojan horse up. Hey, you're not a good guy, though. Like, you're not a good guy. Like we do it with companies. Mm-hmm. You know, we do it with things. These big drug companies. You know, they make the profits. They're not good. They're not good. Like, when people, we start ascribing these sort of
human
personality
emotions,
traits and human emotions to stuff we're getting stuff to. I mean, the people, you know, I may hate the government because of their regulation and overreach, but the people that are living off the government hate the government more than I hate the government, or have more beefs or complaints about what the people that are living in government housing are complaining the most about their free housing. Sure. So it's something that I just thought about, and I thought it is interesting that the people you do nothing for have really no qualms, and actually you have a pretty good relationship with. The people you do the most for have qualms. Have issues. Have things.
There's no ledger between you and the people you do nothing for. You know what I mean? You're just on equal ground. There's a ledger with the people you do things for. And
you're constantly owed.
And your mind is different and their mind is different.
I've never met a person, and you guys tell me this. I was talking to a friend of mine yesterday. He was explaining that he has a couple of brothers. There's three brothers. Mom is, you know, out of money. I have no idea how many adults hit their twilight with, literally calling their 40-year-old son and go, I need a new roof on my house in Phoenix. Like, what are we going to do about this? Like, that's my family. That's his family. There's a lot of that going around. Lynette's family was the same way. Like, they got old and they just ran out of money. And then they just start looking around, like, who's got money? This guy out of the three brothers, this is the guy who's paying for the new roof. This is the guy who's paying the property taxes at the end of the year for mama. This is the guy who's picking up the pieces. The other two brothers are not contributing. Mm. Now, think about this scenario and think about versions of this you've seen in your life. Do the other two brothers ever sufficiently acknowledge or thank the third brother who is doing all the goddamn work, spending all the money doing everything? Do they ever? Does it ever happen?
That conversation gets avoided.
Why? Then why? Like, here's my whole thing. Like, why? There's two people on the planet who need to thank that guy. It's the other two brothers. It's not me. It's not anybody who's listening. Yeah. It's the two brothers. Who are the people least likely to ever thank the brother who's doing what they're doing or should be doing or could be contributing? Yeah. Is there ever a version where the brother at Thanksgiving says, hey, man, I know you're paying the taxes for mama's property tax, and I saw you put the roof on and fix the air conditioning at the place, and I don't make as much money as you, but I'd like to contribute something, or I'd just like to thank you. I'd like to acknowledge what you're doing, and I really appreciate. Does that even happen?
No.
No.
Okay, why not? Why are we wired that way?
I think by even bringing it up, by saying thank you, you're acknowledging the discrepancy.
You're leaving that door wide open.
Now the shame door is open because what are you two able-bodied dudes? Why aren't you two doing something? Right. Or even, again, it doesn't break down this way. It's not like, well, this guy makes $100,000 a year and puts $10,000 toward his mom. You make 50. So you put 5. Yeah. Oh, no. I put 0.
Yeah.
That's how that works. And you are never thanked and or appreciated.
Yeah.
It's a wonderful wiring.
It's Tony and Janice Soprano.
It's a wonderful, it's a wonderful, wonderful wiring. And there is no such thing as the guy who's on the giving end, the guy who's on the generous end. And I talk to those people all the time. Like, you go, how's your brother with that? Or how's your sister? Or how's your mom? Or your brother? It's like, they're even douchier, which I do love that they've doubled down on the douche.
Yeah, indignant.
They could go the other way and be super grateful.
My next thought is super grateful, while it's good for a second, is this. We are on a teeter-totter. We're not on a teeter-totter with a piano hinge at the fulcrum in the middle. It's not like if you're going to go raise that other brother, if you're going to say to that brother, hey, thank you. You're really taking care of mom. You're being very generous. Yeah. I know money's tough to come by, and I know that roof wasn't cheap. Guess who's going down?
Yep.
Because you can't just raise him without you going down, because obviously you could have contributed or you could have physically shown up and done the work or done whatever. So nobody wants to go down. So you can't, if you start praising the other person for their generosity, well, then what? We have to look in the mirror and figure out, why do you need this or why aren't you contributing, or why is this person doing all this? Thank you.
Yeah, it's a screwed up way of thinking. It's a faulty wiring, because you don't go down. There's no fulcrum. There's no teeter totter. By acknowledging and saying, being a little bit humble and saying, hey man, I appreciate that. Stepping up and blah blah. You're seeming like the bigger man. You're acknowledging it. You know what I mean? You're being gracious.
Well, I do agree, and I believe for the people who do all the things of that nature, it would be greatly appreciated to be acknowledged.
Of course,
but if you, in fact, are able-bodied and you, in fact, came from that woman's vagine, then it does beg the question, what are you doing?
Right.
this is kind of, there's a math problem, yeah, which is I will praise you, but when I'm done praising you, conversation number two is, how come I'm doing zero and you're doing 100%? Yeah. I'm praising you for the 100%, but isn't that making us wonder about my zero?
Not a good dice roll.
And if you're doing it from a hospital bed or a wheelchair, maybe that's a different story. But if you're able-bodied and possibly a couple years younger employed. And gainfully employed, like then how does this conversation go? So I just thought it was interesting. It's a bad wiring, and get used to it, everybody, if you become successful and start bailing out mom. It's fine. Do it because it's the right thing to do. Do not ever think there will be any praise or appreciation on the other end of it.
Can I ask you a slightly related question?
Mm-hmm.
Timely. My parents sent Christy birthday cards and included a check, like a nominal amount, but a check, happy birthday. And we're on our. My instinct. I said to Christy, I'm like, we should tear it up. We should send it back.
We just had this conversation birthday checks that I'm still receiving.
Yeah,
as the niece, as the daughter.
Like Christy's 40, she does pretty well. And also on top, my parents are approaching retirement age, and they're
it under $100?
No.
Was it under $500?
Yes.
And it was just a check, not a gift, whatever.
Yeah. I would say if you want to get her a gift, get a gift certificate or something like that.
I agree. I like where your parents' head's at. I think
it's very sweet.
At this point in life, especially with her position in life, you start doing the kids' college fund thing.
Oh,
you make the contribution to the whatever.
That's actually a really good idea.
And so I would write them a thoughtful note that says, thank you very much, but that don't buy half a sushi platter for m'lady. But
Tessa.
We shall be taking this generous gift and putting it toward Tessa's college fund.
That's a great idea.
Because if it's $25, if it's $30, whatever, you don't insult the person. This is the gift to you, and they can afford it, and I say cash it. But that's some good thinking.
All right. There's an article there that you have about Drew's been going nuts about the whole homeless situation and the conservatorship, and we need to get these people off the streets and blah, blah, blah. So fresh off the press, you tell me about it, and then I'll comment on it.
Well, this is from Fox News, and this is basically a San Francisco pilot program that forces homeless and mentally ill people into treatment. So I'll just read some of the beats. They decided Tuesday to back this plan, allowing the city to force some people with issues into treatment. San Francisco Mayor London Breed and other supporters of the plan, which is known as a conservatorship, says it is necessary to help people who are often homeless, addicted to drugs, or mentally ill, and either have no means or no desire to get off the street, which the plan's proponents say makes them a danger to themselves and to others. Supervisor Shaman Walton was the lone no against the vote. So I guess it was a 10-1 vote. Everybody's for it except for Shaman. Telling the San Francisco Chronicle, he was concerned about how it would affect the city's African-American population and noted police officers are often the ones to initiate temporary psychiatric holds. He said, for me, it is troubling to note that typically policies that force the individuals into a scenario where their freedom is taken tends to affect black people and people of color disproportionately.
All right. I have thoughts. There's more, but there's a couple things. This sort of we have rights. Mm-hmm. It's true we have rights. But in the fridge, 13 feet from where Dawson is sitting, there are three or four beers. Mm-hmm. And if he decided to pound three of them after the show, or even two of them after the show, and then drive back to his palatial state, North Hollywood, and he was pulled over, he would be pulled out of his truck, and he would be put in the back of a squad car, and he'd be taken to a drunk tank, and he'd be put there until he could raise some money to get out of there.
Yep.
So I would say, well, you're kind of infringing on this guy's,
freedoms,
civil liberties here.
On
he
his
was
funk.
Driving home at 4 in the afternoon. You pulled him over and you called the tow truck. Yeah, you called the tow truck to go get his vehicle, and then you put him in a cage.
It's pretty massive pain in the ass.
I'd say you've definitely impacted his ability to go home. Mm-hmm. But on the other hand, we did have a deal where he wasn't going to drink beers and then drive. So that was our sort of societal deal.
Contract.
And One would argue that Dawson could have avoided it if he chose to simply not drink after the show, or maybe limit himself to one beer instead of three beers. But either way, he's now getting out of his truck and he's being put in a cage. So that's kind of how society works. And if you'd like to be high on the street, on the sidewalk, or in the park and defecate on the sidewalk, then you have broken that contract.
Yeah, the social contract.
Right, just like the contract. What's in a way like Dawson with his 2.5 beers and then driving home versus defecating on the sidewalk with a needle sticking out of your arm? I don't know.
It's a hell of an afternoon.
I hope Dawson doesn't do that.
No, we're going to get another. Kaylin, you're going to do that. I'm saying is in terms of the social contract, what's more egregious? Mm. Well, I think you could make arguments like both directions. But either way, I think we would agree that that ball cleared the fence.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
You're in violation one or the other.
So this isn't about randomly removing rights from people.
No,
this is essentially finding people that have stepped over that line, just like we do with drunk driving.
It's a self-selecting
and not,
sample.
As you would say, not putting them on Devil's Island, getting treatment.
Yeah.
There's a big difference there.
Right.
There's just a little bit more. San Francisco's program would allow a court to appoint a public conservator for someone who has been involuntarily detained for psychiatric hospitalization at least 8 times in a year. Oh. The treatment could last for as long as a year. So this isn't just pulling random people off the street. At least that's not how it's being brought.
Yeah, and I know the hero shaman over there, whatever his name is, who's probably infusing race into every single conversation it's ever had, is worried about the black. By the way, if you're worried about the black homeless people, you'd want them in there. I think you're virtue signaling. But also, black folks do come into contact with the police at a higher rate than other groups. They also are involved with crime at a higher rate, which then leads to a higher contact. I think people should always understand that. As I was saying to Max Zapata, yes, young black men are involved in a disproportionate amount of crime and also involved in a disproportionate amount of contact with police. There's a sort of straight line you can draw there. For instance, I have been driving a motor vehicle for almost 40 years in this town. I have filed no claims ever. I've never hit anybody, and I've never been hit. I've avoided a million accidents.
Even when your car was destroyed when you were on the phone with Kimmel?
Let's see. That car was parked. I don't know, because I didn't have... I had comp and collision, but I didn't have...
Not random acts of...
No.
Catastrophic
force majeure.
I had what the minimum you had to have, but this is a good point. Mm. The minimum amount you had to have to drive was, I think, comp and collision.
Right. For them.
And it wasn't about theft.
Yeah.
You're on your own. So I would have to put kill switches and stuff in my car, because my thing was like, I need the minimum amount that I don't make enough money to have the theft or the replacement or the whatever. So the comp and collision part, I could pull the piece of paper out if I got pulled over, and that would be enough not to be cited. But in terms of your liberties, by the way, how about just being forced to have something? But okay. When my car was destroyed, it was destroyed, and I had no insurance for replacing it. I just had the comp and collision. Anyway, what is the comp and collision?
Comprehensive?
Or maybe it was just collision and not comp. Mm. Or we'll see what the difference is. Either way, I was insured in case I damaged someone else's car.
It's about the other
I was not insured in case my car was destroyed or stolen, which it was destroyed.
Often.
So I have never filed a claim with an insurance company, as far as automotive insurance company. I've never filed a claim. 40 years. Okay. I've also been through 5 high-performance driving schools, and I have an SCCA racing license and a vintage license, and have participated in professional Trans Am races as well as a lot of vintage
races. We get it. You can drive.
Right. Guess who pays more for insurance than my wife?
Ironically, you?
I do. Now, the reason I do is because not me.
No. Nope.
But fellas, statistically, get into more accidents. So guess who's victimized by that?
So you do.
Right. So that's how life works, everybody. Also, I pay for Lynette's insurance as well, so I'm getting fucked both ways.
Either way,
it's insane that this individual pays more for insurance than Gina or many others who may have filed a few claims or been in a couple accidents. I don't know. It's insane that I pay this, that I pay more.
Yeah. But you fit the profile.
Right. They're not looking at me individually. They're looking at my group who disproportionately fill in the blank. And that's how society works. And if I would like to pay less, I have to get the whole group to do less.
Right.
Sadly, that's where we're at.
Drive better, guys.
That's right.
Gina, is your side view mirror still hanging off?
No, that's fixed, but I got to fix the corner pedal on the front.
Damage caused by non-collision related events. That's comprehensive. Yeah. Theft, injury, vandalism, all that stuff. So, yeah, I just had collision then, I guess, and not comp. Whatever the cheapest was.
Whatever the entry level.
Yeah.
I remember those days.
I was just staring at my car being destroyed on the street. That was such a weird... That was such a bizarre time in my life because that's when I came home from New York early to audition for Loveline, even though I'd gone to New York with Jimmy and we're going there for Kevin and Bean for like a week. And boy, you want to talk about the best time ever. Going to New York for a week with Jimmy Kimmel for Kevin and Bean there for the MTV Music Awards. And somehow, like on, this was like our honeymoon. Like we would get there the Friday before, you know, leave Friday after Kevin. We'd have like nine days there. Oh, we're going to get
company credit cards,
gelato and cannolis. It was going to be awesome. And it was all great. And then some point, like on a Tuesday, somebody called me and said, you have to come back to LA. And I was like, what? No. And they're like, we need you to audition. And I'm like, no.
I never get anything.
I never audition and get anything. I never get anything. Like, tell them no. And they're like, you got to audition for Loveline for MTV. And I was like, and
wiping ricotta off your mouth.
Yeah. And I was like.
A tear of gelato comes out.
Actually, that was from Jimmy. So I was like, oh. And we brought the. We brought the vice grips and the universal remote so we could swap out the box, the cable box, and see porn 24/7 in our room.
Spankavision.
That's a Twilight Zone episode. You think that's going to be the greatest thing ever? You're in a room in Manhattan with nothing but pornography going through the TV set? At a certain point, you'd like to catch up on the news or watch a little ESPN, and you can't change the channel.
It's a careful what you wish for situation.
We couldn't change the channel because we only had one universal remote. And the way to do it, I think Jimmy figured this out, is you travel with these vice grips or these needle nose pliers. You go around the back of the thing and you get the coax off. You can't do it like by hand or with a wrench. You need like a some tool because they prevent it. They don't want you to do it. You get the coax off and you swap the coax to whatever on the back. And then you take the universal remote and you program the universal remote to go to like channel 103, which is the porn channel, which isn't on the regular remote.
Sure.
So then you use the universal remote and you put on channel 103. Now, we only had one universal remote. We have to take turns to see who had it in their room.
This is before internet, Gina.
Yeah.
Internet porn.
Some tough stuff.
But if you did get off the porn channel, you couldn't get back on the porn channel without going and getting the universal remote from wherever it was. So these were heady days. But anyway, I got pulled out of there on like a Tuesday. I went home. I auditioned for Loveline. I was just standing out on my balcony, just looking at my car parked on the street, talking to Jimmy.
Who was back in New York,
and I was like, what'd you guys do tonight? What kind of fun did you have without me?
Who's eating your gelato?
That's right. And a full-size pickup truck completely destroyed my car while I was staying there. To the point, it's always gratifying, the two things I've been on the phone for. One is my car being destroyed, and Jimmy on the other line said, what was that sound? It was so loud. And I said, because I have no pulse, I said, that was my car being destroyed. And he went, okay, good. Now, what was it? Uh-huh. And I said, no, that's my car being destroyed with no insurance.
The other one, I was on the phone with Matt DeAndrea when the cop ran at me with the shotgun, pumped it, and was coming at me with the shotgun, and he went, what's a shotgun pump? I was like, wow, that was close. He was close to me with that thing.
Anyway.
So, car was destroyed. I tried to get the money from Kenny, who destroyed it, and it was a long saga. But either way, no, I should not pay more, but until men as a group drive better, then I shall pay more. And yes, it will be unfair to me. All right.
When did they stop at, you know, the cliche was always license and registration. When did it become license, registration, and proof of insurance? When did that come into play?
Out here.
Yeah, I was going to say in California.
I seem to recall I started driving in like 80 or 79, 80, somewhere in there, like 80. And I never had insurance, so it was academic, but I seem to remember driving around for a good 5 years or maybe 10 years before the proof of insurance thing went into action. Mm-hmm. And then it was driving scared. But right. I drove as if I didn't have insurance and this truck was my livelihood. And if I get pulled over, I'm going to be screwed. And that's how I drove.
Yeah.
I see these guys on the freeway. I used to marvel at it. Like every once in a while, I'd be driving home from Loveline on the Hollywood freeway. And we'd be driving home, be the middle of the night, be like 12:20 on a Wednesday. And some guy, I'd see some, you know, Chevy Impala, like from 1974. And it had like four dudes in it. And it just blow past. I was doing 80 in an M3. And it would blow past me at like 93 miles an hour. And I'm like, how fast are you guys going to get pulled over? Yeah. And when you do get pulled over, what are they going to find?
How's that gonna go?
How much pot's in this car? Yeah. Who's got a gun? Like, what's going on? Why don't you drive and act accordingly? Like, when I drove, when I had my BMW and I was fully insured and I was totally sober and had no pot or guns on me, I would leave Loveline at midnight and I would haul ass home, knowing full well that if I got pulled over, I would either soberly provide them with all the information and documentation they needed, or as more often the case, do a hey man show, hey man, and then I'd just drive away. But if I had warrants and I had weapons and I had drugs, no, I would not be driving 35. At 95 miles an hour
Play
on that freeway.
Closer to the vest.
Are we surprised that people that are in that kind of, they have the crosshairs of society on them already? Why? Now, there's a way to kind of do it where you can. I did. I drove a pickup truck. I kind of kept it at 10 and 2, and I laid low, and I did not get pulled over that often. I was pulled over for stuff like when my car was stolen and I did have a fuel cutoff switch and I did go recover it myself on foot when the ignition got pulled out by the bad guys. I didn't have enough money to replace the ignition. It was a dealer part item. Mm-hmm. I was starting the car with a screwdriver and I was pulled over because I was, the cop saw me with my screwdriver, thought I stole the car.
Oh yeah. I was like, what does he care how you're starting the car?
He cares that he assumes that I stole it. Right. But there was a little bit of that now and again. And I got pulled over on a motorcycle a time or two and didn't have my motorcycle license and things of that nature. But for the most part, I was very quiet. Mm-hmm. Like I didn't want to make a ripple in the water. I was like, if I get pulled over, there's going to be a big financial problem for me, and I'm going to act accordingly. It's essentially, the cops are essentially just sort of cats, and they're like looking for movement, and they want to pounce, and I'm just going to stay right in the middle of the herd. Mm-hmm. Me and the gazelles.
Don't pull focus.
Just going right. I'm not going lame and pulling off to the side, because that puma is going to pounce.
Hungry.
I stayed right in the middle. All right.
1984 is when California started requiring insurance.
84.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. Well, that sounds about right. Yeah, I drove about 5 years, and then they wanted insurance, and then I had no insurance for the next, 84, 94. So the next decade.
Wow.
I just drove for 10 years with no insurance. But I drove accordingly, and I never got into an accident, and I never got a DUI. And look, I could drive like an asshole and I could get drunk and I could do all sorts of stuff, but I didn't do it like on the streets. Mm. I just wouldn't do it. I was worried that that was going to happen. Well, I wasn't making any money, and the fines are insane for everything, and I didn't want to risk it. And I just thought, like, I don't know, but okay, here's a thought. I felt the same way about having kids. Like, I am not getting someone pregnant.
I'm not
in any kind of position, financially, emotionally, or spiritually, or anything else. I'm in no position to be a dad or take care of a woman or take care of another human being. Imagine the goddamn utopia if everyone just sort of went, well, I'm not ready to be a parent financially, or I'm not ready to be pulled over because I don't have insurance, and I will drive and fuck accordingly. I will
with
do
caution.
Everything accordingly.
Under the radar.
Pull out slowly.
Yes, back out slowly. Look, check left, right, then left again. Look, the left titty, the right titty, then the left titty again. What I'm saying is I was acutely aware of my position, and my position was really low on the totem pole. So I was like, here's what I don't have. I don't have money, and I don't have insurance, and I don't have the ability. I don't have an education.
I don't have life skills.
I don't have training, and I don't have any. I am completely unprepared to take care of another human being, and I'm unprepared to pay for another human being. I can barely pay for myself, and then another human being in the mother as well. So I didn't have anything, but I did have the knowledge that I didn't have anything. And I did have the knowledge that I certainly didn't want to pay for a parking ticket that would have been out of an 8-hour day, it would have been 6 hours work for just a normal parking ticket. So I was the guy who didn't want a parking ticket. So I acted as if I was the guy who didn't have comprehensive insurance on my pickup truck or any insurance on my pickup truck. So I put a fuel kill switch in. So when it was stolen multiple times, I was able to find it multiple times. All we need out of society is to just act as if. Know who you are. If you're not ready to be a parent,
act like it.
Act like it. If you're not ready to get pulled over or you can't afford whatever, act like it. Yep. That's all we need. Then we're living in a utopia because you go, well, these people, they don't have the money or they don't have the wherewithal. Fine. They don't have the kids either. And they're not getting pulled over either. So if we did that, it wouldn't completely eradicate all the things we don't want out of society. It would get into the 90 percentile. Yeah. Just imagine if everyone just went.
It'd make a difference.
Every male and female that was 19 or 17 and a half or 23 and not killing it, not crushing it, not making tons of money, just went, I'm in no position to have kids right now. I'm just going to abstain from having kids. Condoms break. Things happen. I get it. But imagine if the lion's share of people did that. Imagine if the lion's share reacted or interacted that way with the law. Like, hey, I already have two strikes. Yeah. I'm not going to steal a bag of Fritos. No way.
I'm on parole.
I'm on parole. I'm not going to do anything that's going to get me. I mean, imagine if everyone just had that mindset, which is free.
Yeah.
It doesn't have it had nothing to do. I had no education. I had no money. I had nothing. But the greatest gift was that mindset.
Requires less effort than doing the actual thing.
Well, sure.
Right.
Now you don't have two problems.
Now you don't have to do it.
We have to figure out a way to impart that to the people. This notion of like, well, we got to give them free college. That's not going to correct that. Right. We need that part. No one wants to get into that part because at that part, then you start becoming preachy and then Shyamalan Ding Dang over there in San Francisco, then he's going to call you a racist or call you bigoted or call you something when really it's the best thing you could ever do for a group. All right. AJ Benza's out there. Let me hit the Instacart and then we'll bring AJ in. Groceries delivered as fast as 1 hour or the time that works for your schedule. So think about the time. Think about what your time is worth. It's worth more than walking up and down the frozen foods aisle or finding a place to park. It's available at your favorite local or national grocery stores. No sitting in traffic, no nothing. Exclusive coupons, save money with coupons on pantry staples. Just get the app or go to instacart.com. Shop for your groceries. Your shopper gathers your items, selects the produce. They'll even call if necessary and they have a question. Your groceries will arrive in as little as an hour or the time that you select. Keep the hot items hot, the cold items cold. It's all there. Right, Dawson?
Try Instacart and get $10 off your first order. To get this limited time offer, go to Instacart.com and download the mobile app and enter the promo code Adam at checkout. It's $10 off your first order today at Instacart.com or through the mobile app. And don't forget to enter Adam, Instacart.com or through the mobile app with code Adam at checkout.
All right. AJ Benza is out there. He always has some hot stories, and we'll do some blah, blah, blah right after this. Rocket Mortgage. Support for the Adam Carolla Show comes from our friends at Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Home is much more than a house. That's why when you find the perfect place for you and your family, getting a mortgage shouldn't be difficult and it shouldn't get in the way. And that's why there's Rocket Mortgage. Their team of mortgage experts, number one goal is to make home buying process a smoother, easier process for you. Quicken Loans help millions of Americans achieve the dream of home ownership. And when you're ready to purchase a home and it's the home of your dreams, well, then they can help you too. J.D. Power ranked Quicken Loans highest in customer satisfaction for primary mortgage origination 9 years in a row and highest in mortgage servicing 5 years in a row. Not too shabby. Get started online at rocketmortgage.com/Adam. Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Push button, get mortgage. Rocket Mortgage. Right, Dawson?
Visit rocketmortgage.com/Adam and take the first step toward the home of your dreams. Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states. NMLS, consumeraccess.org, number 3030. For J.D. Power award information, visit jdpower.com. Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Push button, get mortgage.
It's time to check Adam's voicemail.
Hey, man. Just drove by this guy finishing off washing his truck in the driveway. Was drying it with a leaf blower. Get it on.
You can leave us a message at 888-634-1744.
AJ Benza in studio. Gossip columnist. Fame is a bitch every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday now on Podcast One. And you can sign up for his Patreon page at where you get the podcast. And you'll hear it every single day. AJ, good to see you, my friend.
Great to be here, boys and girls.
I know you have some stories. How many stories do you have?
I can talk about anything, but I think I have three good ones.
Three good ones?
Yeah.
We got a Jennifer Lawrence story. We got a Harvey Weinstein story.
Got a gay quiz, too, kind of.
And a gay quiz.
Well, things to allow you to figure out who's gay and who's not.
It's not like the quiz is lame. That's always my favorite.
There'll be no grading. I just wanted you to...
In the explanation department, is there anything worse than going, I don't mean gay like blowing guys. I mean like super lame, like stupid, retarded. Yeah. Like you would never want to do it, but not gay.
No.
Come on.
No.
Gay is bad.
Is there ever an argument that makes your argument worse?
No, that's dragging it down quite a bit.
Yeah. I think so.
Yeah.
All right. Let's play an intro for AJ Bing.
Oh. It's time for Allegedly with AJ Benza. Called that so we don't get sued.
Right.
Yes. All right. What do you got? You got a Jennifer Lawrence one?
Thank you for that. I tend to forget that word a lot.
Yeah, where's Jennifer Ben?
Well, that's the interesting thing. You know, Jennifer Lawrence, remember the fapping when all these naked pictures of chicks were appearing everywhere? Uh-huh. Well, people believe that that wasn't a lot of girls' phones getting hacked. It might have been Harvey Weinstein's phone getting hacked. And all those naked, topless pictures of these models and actresses were in his phone.
Oh, really?
J-Law had the most. She can pose on
who
her
own. Does?
Jennifer Lawrence.
Jay Law.
Yeah, I'm trying to stay hip for the kids.
Could have been Jude Law. That guy looks pretty good with a shirt
on.
Good nudes, yeah. Yeah, she has the most, not bashful. And, you know, a lot of people believe that Harvey had a hand in taking her from where she was to getting 4 Oscar nominations, being in these great movies, winning an Oscar. Mm. And then when the heat got really high and Harvey and all the stuff started happening, Jennifer Lawrence had to disappear. She had to go away. She quit acting for a while, for a year. But
she said it was to focus on politics.
Which we thank God for her politics lately, because we couldn't have lived without it. But no, she had to get away. It was too hot in the kitchen. People were putting two and two together a lot. And she went and made sure she got engaged to this kid, Cook Maroney, some rich kid from Vermont, some art gallery dude. But the point is that many people in the industry know she's one of Harvey's girls. And I think the heat just got too high. There's a number of them. Alicia Vikander, right? The pretty chick from Ex Machina. What's the movie she won the Oscar
Danish
for?
Girl.
Right, Danish Girl. She was a Harvey girl.
That was a good bet.
Yeah, yeah.
Long shot.
Yeah, right?
When the first came out.
She was a Harvey girl, but a lot of these girls have kept their mouths shut. That's part of the way you can see who's a Harvey girl.
I keep thinking of Charlie Girl.
Charlie.
Who beats off in a potted plant and they call him Harvey. Who drags reporters to basements of Kitchen Pow. Who beats off in the shower. Wow.
Remember
that? Kind of loose and he's kind of fat and they call him Harvey.
Wow.
Get Rich Banks, get to work, man.
It smells like an Oscar.
Ace
when
nominee.
You spray it on your neck. Yeah.
You got it.
That's pretty good.
It's a bathrobe bottle. It's like a
you
nice
gotta
bathrobe.
Find that song.
Kinda ooh, kinda wow.
Yeah. Harvey.
Kinda dick, kinda now. Harvey, wanna work in this town again, and you'll start sucking. Harvey!
The song writes itself. It's the easiest Simon Banks ever had.
So easy. So the girls who don't protest too much tend to be the Harvey girls. Nicole Kidman, Minnie Driver, and Jennifer Lawrence wasn't complaining, but then she got too frantic and she split. But now she's come back and is bad-mouthed him crazily. But the thing is, if you follow the case, it looks like Harvey's not going to spend a day in jail. It looks like they've worked this thing out to the point where I find this figure very low, that he's going to pay out like $44 million to all these supposed alleged victims.
And his board and everything.
And his board. He actually ends up making some money on this deal. Lawyers are unbelievable. We got to get Garagos on that. I don't know how that works with insurance or something.
We always talk about the fact that Erin Andrews made $55 million for something she didn't know happened to her.
Right.
Like, in terms of being a victim, you may be a victim, but your best kind of victim is what was done to me.
Yeah,
right.
But I mean, even if it's in the dentist chair, like you know, with me,
I was sleeping.
I'm still like,
what
still
happened?
Better.
Something super flattering.
Still better than feeling the stiletto on your neck,
right.
Like in the park, right? Yes. Like so.
Give me a choice.
She got $55 million, and she didn't know what happened.
Right. Yeah. Right. And Tracy Morgan got about 90 for just about dying. Right. What
I don't know that there was a. I don't know that it was disclosed.
No, he didn't.
Tracy,
I heard it was close. I heard it was
allegedly
like 90.
Tracy's team is denying it.
Oh,
but,
bullshit.
Yeah. Everyone's saying 90.
Come on.
Yeah. Him buying $2 million cars every Wednesday. Yeah.
Right.
Would belie that point. But anyway.
And when you have 6-foot sharks in your fish tank at home. You got a little money to throw around. Jesus.
Yes, I know. When it comes time to feed your fish and you have to throw in lifeguards
right.
Because the fish are so big that's what they live off of.
Yeah, yeah.
So, all right. So, well, this is interesting. You know what I'm thinking about all the time? Like, picture this. I mean, picture this world. Like I was saying that, you know, the thing we've learned from this Weinstein thing is that Weinstein is a horrible person and that acting is easier than we thought because you suck the fat guy off and you get the role. And it is a thing where I'll tell you who doesn't have to engage in any of this or even politics or whatever. Like, so just picture this 1,000 mile above the earth kind of view down on acting. Acting is, There's a handful of people that you could call gifted.
Right.
Like
right.
Daniel Day-Lewis. You know what I mean? Gifted.
Absolutely.
Meryl Streep.
Yes.
Gifted. Fine. Everyone else, it's all about jockeying for position, right? I mean, we really, look, are you good looking? There's plenty of good looking people. Are you young? There's plenty of good looking young people. Mm-hmm. Can you memorize a line? And if you don't, we'll do it a fifth take. And if we have to cobble together the first take, the seventh take, and the 11th take, we'll do it in the edit bay.
Right.
You're pretty replaceable.
I know.
Where whoever you are, whatever you are replaceable. And now, you know, you don't see a lot of politics. The UFC.
Oh.
John Jones doesn't have to blow anybody. And
doesn't have to.
He doesn't have to politic. He can put
the ball of his foot through your orbital socket, even if you're a killer.
Yeah.
If you're a trained killer, he's still going to take you out with his elbow.
Yep.
He does nothing. Mm. He has to do nothing. There's no political side to his job.
Yeah.
He gets busted for his steroid abuse or whatever it is, takes a suspension, comes back and wins.
Right.
That's what he does. Yeah. He has to do nothing. If you surf big waves, if you're Laird Hamilton, your job is to surf an 80-foot wave, not to convince someone to let you do something. John Jones doesn't have to convince anyone to do anything. He just beats everybody.
Right.
Yeah,
but if you have a job where you have to convince people, there's going to be this.
Sure, because a lot of acting is easy. If I'm doing the same thing on a given day that Robert De Niro's doing, well, you know it's easy. Not the roles he's chosen, but
yeah, you're doing a local RV commercial, but still,
a lot of things in acting you go.
Oh, sorry, used
come on,
RV.
Come on.
That's implied. It was pretty clear. It was pretty clear.
But I didn't say used.
You didn't say, but I knew what you meant.
Local though, right?
Yeah, well, local
commercial. Those are great.
Right? Yeah, you and De Niro.
Yeah, listen. But look at guys like, I don't know, Jason Schwartzman. Think of guys that are just making tons of money in movies, and you go, there's nothing talented about this. Fuck, I could do this.
Yes.
And most of us can. But you're right. The women, it's been there since Howard Hughes called Shirley Temple up to his room. You know, whoever.
Really?
No.
Jason Schwartzman.
Listen, the good ship Lollipop.
Don't she had
a little practice.
No.
Yeah.
Come on.
It was a whole different song when she sang it to Howard Hughes. Mm. Whoever the guy was back then. Louis Mayer. Who knows?
All right.
They
so
all had him.
Jennifer Lawrence has always bothered me, but
now you know why.
Before I move on, can I piggyback on that just for a second? Because the show airs on Friday. It's the weekend. People want to know what to see in the movies.
Ah.
Chris Laxamana and I saw Jennifer Lawrence in Dark Phoenix, the new X-Men movie that's coming out. We went to a preview screening on Monday, a beautiful date with Chris Laxamana and I. And we're in the theater at the AMC Century City watching the movie. And during the climactic battle that's taking place between good and evil that's going to decide the fate of the fate of the universe, the emergency lights start flashing and the lights come on. The movie cuts out and we're all like, well, that's odd. And then the little security guard comes in and says, we're going to have to evacuate the theater, folks. I'm sorry, the fire alarm went off to evacuate the theater. And instead of going back for the movie, for the finish of the movie, I said to Chris, I'm like, I think I got it.
I know.
I'll see you tomorrow.
Yeah.
Well,
not a good movie.
Not a good movie.
Of course not. Not a Baldy
word. She's made now.
One of the worst.
Yeah, well, that's like four bombs in a row now. Passengers, Mother, there was another one, and now this.
A Red Sparrow.
Red Sparrow. Without Harvey, she doesn't do much work. She's not too good without Harvey pulling the strings behind her and getting the Oscar ads.
Wow.
Kind of young, kind of wild.
Harvey.
Kind of hip, kind of now.
And in the commercial, Harvey and Jennifer Lawrence walk into the nightclub, and the jazz singer's like, Harvey! Yay. And they walk right past him. They go down some stairs.
Yeah, that's right.
There's a vacant office in the end of the hall, dimly lit.
There's a rubber tree.
Plus the potted plant. Right. Yeah, you got to get the plant.
Can we please watch that commercial?
Here we go.
It's a great commercial.
We just yell Harvey when he says Charlie, right?
Sorry,
look at the
they're
sound.
In, that's, they're in Tribeca, right?
Shelly
now.
Hack is.
Oh, yeah.
The next day when I came into work, I said to Chris, like, you didn't like the movie? I'm like, he's like, what do you think the Rotten Tomatoes score is? I'm like, I think best case scenario is maybe 40. Really? And he's like, 25.
No,
21.
That
21.
Yeah. Is this the chick Avenger movie or is it just Avenger?
But it had some like Captain Marvel girl power moments in it, though.
This is an X-Men movie.
Oh, okay, sorry. Here we go.
There's the freshman that's here.
Oh, boy.
Bad internet. Now, remember, we all have to yell Harvey.
Yes.
Let's get a better video. Yeah.
We'll find it.
We'll get it. Okay.
We're going to repost. But here, watch this clip from, this is Jennifer Lawrence.
Oh.
This is the most iconic line. Theater applauded when she gave this line.
It's a girl line.
It's funny. I can't actually remember the last time you were the one risking something. And by the way, the women are always saving the men around here. You might want to think about changing the name to X-Women.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Give me a goddamn break.
Well, she has a good point.
I also, she's a weird thing for me because while everyone finds her very attractive, not my style.
Oh, really?
Not mine.
She's a good looking
person, but I'm not into her like
no, I get it. Well, let me show you those nudes.
Okay.
You might change your mind. But I get it.
All right. When you find Charlie, tell us. Yeah. It's going to make me laugh. Again, we have to yell Harvey.
Yeah, absolutely. Here we go.
There's a freshman that's here today, and they call it Harvey. A different freshman that thinks your way, and they call it Harvey. Find a
young kind of nerd.
Harvey!
Kind of free, kind of wild.
Harvey!
Kind of fragrant that's gonna stay, and it's me here now.
Harvey!
Oh, boy.
Charlie. By Revlon.
Harvey by Miramax.
Yeah.
Bobby Short on piano.
Yeah, Bobby. That's
oh,
at
that
the Carlisle.
Was Bobby Short.
That
yeah.
was at the Carlisle. Bobby sang.
All right, fantastic. So you have another one?
Well, you know what it is? Hmm. There's been always these rumors about Bradley Cooper being gay, right?
Hold on one really? Second. Hold oh, yeah. on. So Weinstein, Harvey Weinstein, yeah. probably no jail time.
I don't think so.
And
like, no.
a sort of minimal amount in terms of the
wrist slap.
And yeah. his divorce. What's going on with that? Do you know?
I don't know. I really haven't. No, I really haven't investigated that much. I know they're not at odds, and there's no hatred like that you'd think they'd be. I think it was an arrangement a long time ago. Georgina knew what was going on.
Georgina's the one.
Chapman, yeah.
I'd like to pick up those pieces, and I'll tell you why.
Tell me.
Because if she ever pulled the move, we're like, you know, we're living together, yeah, right, and we're right. settling into a groove, and then she comes in and she goes, you ate a avocado and you left the husk in the sink. You didn't even throw it away. You know it can't go in the disposal. And I'd go, well, that's interesting. But at least...
You know what I didn't do?
That
you know
is bad.
I'll tell you what I didn't do.
I didn't rape Rose
I
McGowan.
Did make guacamole and not clean up properly. That is true. Yeah.
What would you
got
rather?
Me there.
But... Now, let me pull this chart down. Yeah. You, I know you thought it was the blinds in the kitchen window, but I've modified it. Put the silk tree and I just pull it down. And there's all the actresses' names and the incidents yeah. and what happened
the yarn
and the dates. And the
there's
things.
A side two.
Right. Yeah. So if you had a choice. Okay.
Yeah. Sorry. Perfect. Yeah. I don't know much about the divorce. I really, it's not something that's in the press a lot. They don't speak about it much. I know her career was kind of shot for a while.
Yeah, because, she's a designer.
Yeah, she's got the Marquesa label, but no one was wearing those dresses. And that was an easy parlay for them. Harvey would sign to get the actress in the movie. They'd wear her dresses for the
show.
Everybody made a fortune. But then no one wore her dresses. And I think the two gay designers.
Dolce & Gabbana.
Yeah, I think they finally... decided to
like he narrows it down with gay.
Two gay, yeah. It's the only two gay designers, right? Not the straight ones. Yeah, I know. But people are wearing her dresses again, so I think she's back on her feet. But he sold his $20-something million townhouse in the West Village to fight these court battles and stuff. So he's not swimming in money anymore. So I don't know what kind of arrangement he had with her. I don't know.
I'll tell you, when you buy the $20 million townhouse, first phone call, hello, Z-Best Carpet Cleaning?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. We need you out here pronto.
Also, you know, an arborist?
Just right. Knock it down. Start over. Start over.
All right. What else you got?
So Bradley Cooper. There's always been these rumors that have followed Bradley around that he's gay.
Are there? Have there?
Yes, there have been a lot.
You guys hear
Never
that?
Never heard that.
Well, there, trust me, there have been rumors.
We're not plugged in.
Well, listen, that's why I'm here. But especially now that this relationship with Irina Shayk, his girlfriend, that he had, the mother of his child, it looks like it's over. And you remember during the Star Is Born hoopla, everybody thought that him and Gaga, yep. they love each other. And
they stoked that flame.
Of course. But his ex-wife, who he was married to for a short time, Jennifer Esposito, somebody had asked her, do you think that Gaga and Bradley? And she went, yeah, okay. Like, she knows yeah. something about Bradley, and it was a very short marriage that most people don't know, and she didn't want to comment. Do you think Gaga? No. She knows.
You know.
But that's what
I'm going to tell my son, I'm successful, but I'm not that successful.
Is his birthday today?
Oh, yeah.
Happy birthday, wow. both of them.
If you want
D-Day.
If you want real success, like Bradley Cooper... Or George Clooney, you have a very short marriage when you're not on the A-list yet. We need that quickie marriage. Lasted about 3.5 years. Yeah. You got married at 26. Yeah, you're divorced by the time you're 30.
James
Gunn. No one really knows about it or cares about it because no one knew you or cared about you.
Yeah.
And then you catapult to success.
Right. Yeah. Well, that's kind of what he did.
But we've talked about this recently.
Oh, and you get to bang whoever you want for as long as you want. And when they go, how about making it official? How about putting a ring on it?
Like,
I've been there before.
I'm not going down that road again.
No, 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 no. No, don't stop sucking.
Yeah.
But no.
That's what Clooney did. Clooney rode that for a long time.
He rode that for, he banged everyone for 30 years just based on, been there and done that. It's just a potbelly pig and me from now. Oh, and my dick in your mouth. That doesn't
And by the way,
got.
Have you, what has he been doing since he married Amal Clooney? He's gone.
Yeah.
He went from Ocean's 11 to Lost at Sea, this guy.
He sold a tequila company for $50
million. Well, no, I'm not saying he has no money. I'm saying he's not George anymore. Yeah, maybe.
He doesn't have to be. But we talked about this the other day. In this day and age, not only would it probably not hurt Bradley to come out, but he would be embraced.
That's what I'm saying. Everything is, the whole world is ready, and everything is about gay movies, gay businesses, the flag. There's new letters on the LGBT, whatever the hell.
QAI.
Come on out. No, but these people, but you see, there's ways to kind of figure this out. I found if you think deeply, like if you date Renee Zellweger, you're probably straight. If you marry her, you're gay. You think about, like, Kenny Chesney married her, ended in about 6 minutes. What's the deal?
Mm-hmm.
Kenny Chesney's gay.
Oh, wow.
What happened on the wedding night? Did it end that quickly? He didn't beat her up.
Right.
Mm. So there's
allegedly,
Is that something that's known about Kenny Chesney?
People always said, "What happened?"
Even
with those
two? Kenny Chesney, he was big when I was in high school, and we were that's a gay dude,
and it just ended right away. And the same thing applies with Jennifer Aniston. If you do a rom com with her, you're probably gay. If you marry her, you're straight.
Mm.
You know, if you're Paul Theroux or Brad Pitt, you're straight. Right. Do a rom com, Gerard Butler, you're gay.
Let me tell you something. I'm wishing for both those things in my future. And I don't really even care at this point whether I'm gay or whether it's a rom-com or whether I marry Jennifer.
Either way, you'd be happy.
Do you want to do – we have an outro, by the way. Because we got a little blah, blah, blah to play.
We got a gay quiz.
As well.
Yeah, sure.
That was Allegedly with A.J. like Benza.
That's good.
Called that so we don't get sued. All views and opinions expressed in this segment are lightly researched and or complete conjecture based on hearsay and rumor from loose connections within the entertainment industry. There is no concrete way to prove that any of the claims made by A.J. are in fact accurate and not libelous or defamatory. But again, we remind any legal representation who may be listening that the view and opinions expressed belong to A.J. and only A.J., most of fame as a bitch. Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday on Podcast One.
Norm knows I have a show on Podcast One, right? I just want to.
Yeah, okay,
they do now. Okay, famous a bit.
Okay.
That really song.
Now we're covered.
It's great. I love it. Yeah.
Kind of young. All right. Let me hit Castrol Edge, and then we will do a little blah, blah, blah. Castrol Edge, everyone. Heat, friction, viscosity, breakdown, rob your engine, maximum performance. Friction results in a loss of performance of up to 10%. Castrol Edge, everyone, helps fight friction and deliver maximum levels of performance from your car. Three times. Three times, fool. Stronger against viscosity breakdown than leading oils. It is Castrol Edge. All right, quick break. We come back. We play blah, blah, blog right after this.